Hello everyone, and welcome back to I Couldn't Be a YouTuber, so I decided to make a podcast instead, episode 64. Today's recording, we are going to go over Big Data World by Mo Township, or Mo Xiang. I'll go over the Chinese title, links in the description. I'll do a little bit of a precursor before we get into it. So, Big Data World, the raw title is 大数据世界, Big Data, referring to just information. We'll get into the tags in a little bit. Mo Xiang is the author. Not going to break down too much because I'm not too familiar. The title, Da is big. Su usually is the character for math, for data in this case. Suji would be data. Shijie just means world. And then the way it's written is very much like the earth characters and the land characters. There's a couple things, a lot of things to pack up. Style, I always like to bring a lot, but I'm very bad at condensing. So I previously loved to list titles because I didn't want to be too much of a one-trick pony, but at this point I've started to accumulate a library of things, having read for multiple years, close to almost a decade even, having read hundreds of web novels to the point where every single web novel will have somewhat of a similar characteristic. I've gotten to the point where listing titles no longer makes sense because even thinking about titles will instantly bring up 3 to 5 web novel titles in my mind, right? I basically have a library in my own mind from the books I've read. So it's gotten to the point where I don't need to feel too insecure about being a one-trick pony, which is like one trick pony being like, comparing everything to one specific web novel where I can pull out a multitude of sources. So I'm probably gonna go with more mainstream one. Second, I was reading Disaster Artist. He wrote Big Drama Bone, but there's other great authors out there, right? Rebirth is like those flowing years. I Only Make Bad Movies. Malny, right? He's like the James Cameron, right? The guy that writes films Avatar, but web novel writers are special in the sense that they are not moved. They do not show you a picture. They craft using words. They really are words craftsmen, right? Word meisters. And so, because the mediums are two different, I may compare one to another, but they really are names in their own right. Miaoni, Miao or Mo? Sorry, there's an MIAO versus MAO. I think it's Miaoni. Malny, we'll just go with cat thing. And so he's very much science fiction. That's his realm. Disaster Artist just had an amazing scene that just reminded me of the first time I watched a Hayato Miyazaki film of Ponyo, right? The scene was so vivid within those four chapters. I was just enthralled, enraptured in the words. Like I had a movie theater in my mind and I just could not extricate myself from those stories. And it was just, I was so immersed for those four chapters, whether it was just the mood I was in when I was reading and whatnot, it was just so amazing. So I wanted to go over that real quick. But anyway, let's get back to Big Data World. I debated on which one to cover because I was reading some other ones, Celestial Mage. What is the Emperor one? Stealing, no, not Stealing the Country's Surname. 105. Sorry, as the Black Agent. The father is the enemy a nation. And I read another apocalypse romance web novels. I'll get into romance and reverse romance, especially in this one. But there's a lot to cover, and then a lot of these titles are starting to recollect in my mind. But yeah, so it was interesting because I read like 6 or 7 different web novels within the span of 2 weeks, so a lot of stories are jumbling around. But this author, Mo Xiang, I'm actually very familiar with it. I just didn't realize it. He wrote Fortress Mage, Perfect Mecha Sword God, Dharma God Comes, Legendary Hero, Mage's World. But the two ones we'll focus on is Big Data World, Celestial Mage, and The Last Alchemist. Those are the more recent ones I looked into, and he is very much within the mage sphere. So we're going to be talking about magic. Each of these are very unique in their own right, and they all have intelligent protagonists. So I'm going to go over the summary and all that. I'll break things down before we really go too much into the author. So what is Big Data World about? It is the tags are very much metaverse virtual world. You'll understand what I mean as I talk about it, but for those who are familiar with the tags, this is an infinite flow, which means we're going to go through multiple worlds, but that's not really re relevant at this moment in time. It is a little bit of wuxia, that's a little bit more relevant as we go into title comparisons, such as the Grandmaster Strategist, The Outcast. I love using The Outcast because that's one of the more recent web novels I recently read. Let me see if I could pull up my list of notes here. But I'll quickly read the summary before we go into the tags. I'm very bad at main characters' names because there's too many unique main characters. Peng Zhu is his screen name, but that's not his actual name. Oh, Sun Ren. Very much like Ling Fan. Okay, so let's go over the summary, the amount of chapters, word count, when it was written, all that stuff real quick. So human science and technology has encountered a bottleneck and has stagnated for many years. Let me check if my audio is running. Tens of billions of human beings are crowded into the inner solar system. And the social pressure is enormous, causing conflicts abound. Virtual reality games came into being and blossomed everywhere. The saboteur cheated and disrupted the balance of game, so order appeared. The Tang monk and his disciples went to the West to learn the scriptures, and what they learned was how to open these scriptures. Judas, who betrayed Jesus, was not a traitor, but he became Jesus, who was a leader of the destroyers. This will all make sense because this is all machine translate. The vampires and werewolves, angels and devils in the West, the demons and ghosts in the East, ghosts and Buddhas in the sky, master of supernatural powers, superheroes, and aliens in modern society, all cheating destroyers. It is a glorious mission of the Order to expel them and maintain harmony of the world. Sun Ren is a master saboteur and was recruited by the Solar System Federation due to an accidental leak of his real name and started a glorious career in maintaining order. What the frick does any of that mean? Honestly, you're looking at three things. You're looking at cover, chapters, date, author, subject, and tags, right? There's a lot of things to consider. The summary is just to confirm that this is the web novel you want to read. None of this will make sense until you've actually read it. Obviously, you have to read the first chapter before you figure out what's going on. Off the bat, we have pitch black dreams, overpowered protagonist, elderly character, intelligent main character, game world, system administrator, and we'll get into some of the other tags in a little bit. Our main character is Sun Ren. He is a virtual character, Peng Zhu, in a variety of games. We go through 6 or 7 games, so this is where the infinite flow, where there's multiple worlds. Our main character is a very overpowered Taoist, right? Taoist or the Tao, right? The way. Dao is what it's called in Chinese, the path. And so he has a lot of specialized skills. Now, why is this unique? We are intricately transported to a future world, right? So as I've said, virtual reality games, think of the pod style, right? King's Avatar is more computer, but we're thinking of something like The World Online, Lord of the Empire, where we have like this interstellar video game sort of future world where Earth is traveling. I think we're past 2099. Sorry, 2099 is relevant because that was the apocalypse novel I was reading. So we're in this future world, we have a central administrator, something I would like to coin the term lowly ex machina, right? Deus ex machina meaning God in the machine, which is actually very similar. Deus ex machina, but that's more of a plot point. Lowly ex machina because usually the central computer is always a lowly. This one is just more childlike just because that's how we like to portray video game computers from Resident Evil, right? You have the Red Queen or whatever being a lowly ex machina or Deus ex machina. Not Rudy, but I think it's like Judy or whatever, her, right? That one. Those types of stories, Odyssey 2001, just the voice of Hal and all those things in popular culture. So we are transported to a video game world, right, where our main character is overpowered. And this is where we get into the various levels of this game world, right? So this is where I started getting ideas of a lit RPG. Right, we get into things like you won't notice it becomes a lit RPG later on in the day. It takes on a more super gene trend in terms of the harem and the protagonist. But yeah, so harem tag. But I would consider this light harem where the drama is actually decently well done. I have nothing against harem, the tag in and of itself. It's just more that it's overused and that the romance is so cheap and cheesy that it doesn't make sense. Like there is a certain level of acceptability to it, right? You know, having wealth, being kind, but then there's like the overboardness of power fantasy, and when harems become power fantasies, that's it kind of takes you out of the immersion because it's less realistic. And I don't know, I kind of want my characters to be something more than just, you know, like a prize or an achievement. I want these to be real characters. I just have high level standards for my web novels. So our main character is a Taoist, right? And in these virtual worlds, there are two factions, as you would see in many video game worlds, right? With a Rebirth of a Thief Who Roamed the World, where there's like the positive faction and the dark faction, right? The good, the light faction and the dark faction, right? The horde versus the humans, so on and so forth. In these video game worlds, there are the players, the people who pay to win, right? You know, you have to pay credits to enter these video games and you earn credits from playing the video games, something like the World of Nothing or whatever. The player who had nothing. That's a Korean title, by the way. Something like Overgeared or whatever. Or you have a player. There are the normal players and then the saboteurs. So this is where we kind of get into the two factions, light and dark. Saboteurs are very much hackers, right? They are the outsiders, if you're not familiar with the tropes. They are not of the game world. They are breaking the game and they're constantly hiding from the game administrators. The game administrators, in this case, taking on a unique perspective of being, the game is controlled by various gaming corporations because it's a future world. There's a limited amount of resources, so everyone has to go to the virtual world. It is opening up a virtual world. You'll soon learn the different factions and styles of life, what the different levels mean, where our character lives on that hierarchy. This is very much the retirement life where our main character is overpowered. The question is how overpowered, right? There's outcast level overpowered where it's high growth rate versus something like overlord level of overpowered, the anime overlord, where, or like the world online where it's like, you know, high growth rate, you know, go back to the past cheat style versus overlord where you're already super powered. You just need to exercise that power. We're talking stuff like the perfect run. We'll see stuff like Never Die Extra, Steelheart, the literature physical book series, not web novels. Yeah, the perfect run, Never Die Extra. Those ones are much more in the omniscient category to Omniscient Reader's Viewpoint, X-Ranked Academy Adventurer. What was the one? The Extra and the Academy. That was a good one. Those are different. One is romance. The other is much more novels, extra, omniscient reader style, The Trash of Count's Family, blah, blah, blah. So yeah, big data world. We instantly come into a couple main characters. We have the main character who's kind of like the Dragon King, which is like, you know, he's just been kicked out of the game. He got caught by the system administrator. There's some interesting relationships that we'll go into there, but we won't go into that for now. It's a little bit foreshadowing. And we see our main love interest, right, with her group of female friends, as always, because it said this is light harem. And our main character has a relationship with them, but it's a very unique relationship in the way that they do not know each other. They've only met each other in the virtual world, but these virtual worlds are like life simulations. I remember reading a web novel where it's like you live multiple lifetimes and then you gain those skills, right? And then he becomes a general and so on and so forth. That was a Chinese web novel. You'll find it in a novel update somewhere. So our main character is very overpowered. He's lived thousands of years. I think the exact count is in around chapter 250, they say 35,800 years. So he is a centurion. He has lived for millennia. So he is definitely one of those old monsters, right? He is known as the Taoist Hongjun. You know, he is like the number one most skilled hacker. He is not overpowered in the sense that he has ultimate power, but that his level of knowledge is so high he is called the teacher. Something that you might see in Library of Heaven's Path or Grandmaster Strategist. So our main character is super powerful, but various interesting things. I won't go too much into the depth of psychological, like, you know, philosophy, especially concerning life and death, the various souls, and so on and so forth. But there were just very interesting snippets I'd like to go over. Around chapter 300, they talk about life forms, and this is where you get to the power creep, right? There was always power creep. Infinite Flow deals with power creep a little bit differently, as you would see in Super Gene, where you have various, or the Extraordinary Voyage, something like that, where you have like SCPs, and then you kind of collect it from infinite worlds to slowly level yourself up. Actor's Reincarnation of Heaven, Weird Theater in London, where you get these special movie props and you go through these movies. This is very much a Wuxia-styled world because our author, Mo Xiang, is very familiar with writing magic and mages novels. His stories and characters are very well crafted, mostly set in the medieval setting, but he can write more modern settings. We'll get into that in a little bit. I don't want to credit too much of his Infinite Flow, because there's Infinite Flow where it's throwaway worlds, right? Like, you know that the world is going to end, and then there are worlds where you are immersed because these chapters last long. Near chapter 120-ish, we're starting to get into the world online where we have virtual world, out of world, virtual world, out of world. I will say there's less of that out of world drama. The author resolves it really nicely, and we'll get into those spoilers in a little bit. But at the beginning, we are taken to some sort of Tang Dynasty. We learn about these various emperors. Zhuzhang, no, that was the other one. Father's the enemy of the country. But we learn about these various characters and emperors, right? Grandmaster strategist, noble mage rebirth behind the scenes, aristocratic mage behind the scenes, where instead of the son of Mandate of Heaven, son of luck, right? Son of the protagonist syndrome, where they have like the golden finger, it's more like there are VIPs and non-VIPs. As I said, a lot of this virtual world gaming system is pay to win. This is where the lit RPG super gene stuff comes in, where the game administrators want to make the game experience fun for people who actually pay to play the game. And as saboteurs, your job is to accumulate power and take control. There are various worlds that I do not want to get into because there's so much of it, but our main character has lived many, many lifetimes, and so it's explained on the central world or central server called Earth, right? This is just very much like a one-to-one simulation. If the world was a simulation, blah blah blah, that thing endowed into a video game server, kind of like a casually explained how he explains the universe. It's something like that, to just level up. Obviously, there are various styles. We go into various clashes of Buddhism, Taoism. That one, the politics on that in terms of like history is kind of low, but there's a lot of his. This one's very much a mix of historical fiction, wuxia, and infinite flow. The infinite flow definitely on the lower end of the list because each of these worlds are very well crafted with historical basis to them, right? Some of them, like, they're thrown into a historical scenario and the world's going to end, whereas others, because it's a game world, it has to follow certain rules. So there is a story progression to it, and there is the expectation that things can change rather than you trying to follow the script. And so, because of the fact these are virtual worlds and that the ending is open, our main characters does not have the objective to follow the plot line. So they're just, instead of it being historical fiction, it is more drawing from history to make a compelling plot. And it'll make more sense as you read it, and that's why I'm going to throw Infinite Flow, this tag to the side. Infinite Flow meaning infinite worlds traveling through that, blah blah blah, going to these different movie worlds, coming out of these different movie worlds. Our main character, Sun Ran, meets his love interest Lan Xing, and there's Lü Ke, I think, as well, and a third character, but he eventually gains more in his harem. But these are his three main ones. The reason why he's so infatuated with them is because these are in character game. There you can have romantic relationships and do more than just that, right? So this is like a one-to-one simulation. There are various like styles of shielding and soul shielding. We'll talk about souls in a little bit. I want to talk about the three souls in Eastern culture and two souls in Western culture. That's really cool. But for right now, we'll focus on the love interests. He interacts with all these characters, and these were wives in his many, many lives he has lived. And I think his one redeemable factor of not being a complete scumbag is that he actually does care. He's written that he does care, but he has just so much ultimate power that he is almost to the level of omniscience in the terms of knowledge. We are talking along the likes of Pitch Black Dreams. Not the Perfect Run. The Perfect Run's a little more of a high growth character, but has a special ability that the protagonist's ability of Omniscient Reader Viewpoint. Omniscient Reader Viewpoint, the Perfect Run. Similar style thing. There's a lot more. There was another one similar to The World After the Fall, where he like kind of has this game knowledge. There's a little girl trying to kill the main character. And traversing the game world is kind of like dungeon defense, but it's a very, very specific one, a very specific video game, but it's very specific novels extra story. But yeah, back to this one. Our main character does care about his love interest, and the nice thing is, while there are romantic interests introduced and they keep trying to attack the main character, as you would see in a harem or even a reverse harem, our main character is able to separate himself but still provide some sort of sustenance or care. He's able to split these relationships really differently, right? All authors have to make a decision of how they deal with character relationships, how to cut off a relationship, and do it in such a way that, us as readers do not get too upset or too unrealistic, right? Because we sympathize with characters, we sympathize, like we as readers, we do not treat all in-game story characters as, just side characters in that sense. They all characters we have ships we root for, right? Something you would see in regular wuxia web novels like Duolu Dalu, right? Soul Land, right, where you just see a lot of these main love interests, and then obviously the main character has to choose between one or has to balance his time between multiple, each of them having its own issues in terms of the romance, love triangle, harem sort of relationship dynamic. Guanxi. used in politics, but it's same the same terms used here. So there's a lot of drama, right? You have the whole historical precedent of the emperor and his harem and how he deals with all that. But as I said before, this is set in the past, but there's a lot of superpowers and magical powers to it. There's a power level scaling system that you would see in Wuxia. That's why I said lit RPG. First order, second order, third order, fourth order. And these are terms of elevated video game level privileges, right? As you would say with the GM on a Discord server, with mods, super moderators, administrators, admin, server owner, blah, blah, blah. The server owner would be the central intelligence, right? The AI brain, as I said, we'll talk about later. He gets a name later on, which is foreshadowing more of other stuff. But let's not focus on that for right now. As I said, the video game administrator, system administrator goes much more into the light barrier, light brain, cyber witch, cyber hero sort of thing. Cyber hero is more specifically in stories such as that, where the central intelligence gains a personality, so on and so forth. We see that in the World Online. The system admin on Royal Road covers that. Never Die Extra, no, kind of, but not quite. But we have a sentient AI. There's a couple of stories with that involved, right, where the main character, the Thiefu Realm, the world had that similar story of a high level video game character interacting with the system admin to clean things up. Our main character was the top hacker, right? In even the web novel, hacker as well, right? We see this very red team hacker turn to the blue team. In hacking terms, there's red hats, red team, blue team. Red team meaning attacking, blue team meaning defenders, right? White hat, gray hat, black hat. Very much these hacker level dynamics within the video game world. So there's a lot of concentric layers to the different worlds and the different power levels and the different styles. There are mages world, there are Wuxia world, there's Taoism, there's modern, there's very little modern military setting because our main character, our author, is not necessarily interested in modern military settings. He can do urban life, but his bread and butter is still medieval mages, all this Taoism, Wuxia. You can write both mages, Wuxia, similar style, both very, very found structured. You'll enjoy it as a reader if you enjoy that. I think after chapter 300, the power creep kind of comes in. We get into the space arc. It was always a space arc between Earth and Mars, but then we get into the interstellar wars past chapter 400, and you will understand what I mean with the terms of species. A lot of philosophy thrown in, a lot of math terms thrown in, albeit in math for calculus, matrices, and teleportation. A lot of hacking elevated privileges are discussed, some historical precedent, a lot of pseudoscience terms are thrown in as well. Eurofighter, right? The Vulcan, a type of plane, type 3, type 4, like third generation fighter, fourth generation fighter, second generation fighter thrown in. That's more the World War II arc back in like chapter 300. Trust me, it's relatively small and won't get on your nerves because you know it's small and there are bigger precedents. He, as I said, is very much structured in Wuxia, and that his foundation of writing in Wuxia and mages really transitions well into mages because he can write both really well. He is neither a concentrated, he's not, his primary writing is not Wuxia, which is martial arts, but much more in the mages. So he has a very good sense of power leveling, but it's not super overpowered. Let's go into the stories as a whole. What's with all these different species? As I said before, there are multiple game worlds, right? And the powers in each of these game worlds do not transition over in that sense. But there are various levels of that mercenary level. So outside of these game worlds, you have like the orders, right? So not quite system admins, but mercenaries working for system admins. As I said before, system admins, think of them as corporations. And then you have the super admin who is managing the whole entire federation, this galaxy, this civilization, the human civilization, which gets kind of iffy. What is human? What is not human? Alien, extraterrestrial. I'm not going into that philosophy right now, but I've discussed it previously. And like the human civilization as a whole, or this cradle of life within the solar system slash Milky Way, that we call, you know, Earth solar system, this specific solar system, as well as intergalactic species. Intergalactic species doesn't come until way, way later, and obviously spoilers. So just disregard that if that's not what you're looking for, but it does go in that direction. So, if that's not what you want to read, you know where to stop. As I said before, Sun Ra is a master saboteur. So he used to be a primary level hacker. He used the DAO, right? This DAO is a way we explain elevated privileges. He was the most knowledgeable hacker. Not over, he doesn't have ultimate power because, he's only human in the end of the day, but he is fiercely intelligent, so this comes to the intelligent main character, but he likes to take a held back role. As I said, in Super Genie, kind of develops his harem. This is more like he is a character who's involved in a harem but is detached, and it'll make more sense in later on. Retirement is much more hands-on. This is kind of hands-on, but as I said, there is a level of omniscience to this, something along the lines of rebirth. Sorry, not rebirth, rewrite. If you've read Rewrite, you'll understand why I love to use that as a primary example of omniscience, because that is omniscience done right. There's omniscience such as Steelheart or whatnot, limited omniscience, and there's pure omniscience. And I've only read one where there's pure omniscience. Actually, that Rewrite is pure omniscience. The administrator is technically omniscience, but in more of the sense of that the main character was previously the author and had main control of the game world, but lost those privileges trying to regain them. We're trying to regain godhood, Cthulhu Gonfalon. So there are characters who were wealthy beyond re from rebirth, right? The Heaven's Disciple, world-defying Dawn God, right? These old monsters like the Fourth Crest, Mage Crest from Japanese light novels, where these main characters were super overpowered and then need to regain their power. This is not that. This is not. If you haven't watched the anime yet, Project K, then like it kind of like that style. That is a sort of omniscience, right? Very interesting. I love Project K. But this is much more omniscience in terms of effort willing to put in rather than Rebirth of Thief who re-roamed the world. We have a host of very unique characters. We have his relationship with the video game administrator, his relationship with the various his various disciples, right? We know he's more powerful, but he one-on-one, he's very much like the Napoleon style of warfare, right? He is the strongest general, he is the strongest character, but he isn't weak to getting ganged up on, right? So there's always compelling fights because he's always the underdog. He may have overpowered strength, but he cannot necessarily apply it. There is a restraint to him on his personal moral restraints and the external restraints from the world and from the setting of the novel in and of itself. There's a lot of things going on, and you will never get bored. Honestly, there's almost too much content to the point where I started getting bored because it was so full of content. That, yes, that is an issue in and of itself. That's more reader preference. You will understand what I mean once you start reading a lot more of these, depending on where your level is in web novel reading. This, I would say, around 8 or 9 out of 10. I'm hesitant to give it out of 10 out of 10 because I don't want to give my 10 out of 10s too lightly. Those ones I reserve for personal preference and taste. But this is very high level in terms of Mage's thing. As I said, within the past 5 years, even though this was written in 2014, it still holds up to most web novels to this day, right? Most web novels, even great web novels today, still have to compete with older web novels, and this is one that holds up very, very well. On that note, it probably, oh, it ended because the author ran out of stuff to read. I think my last web novel had that similar style. So actually, it does end on a good note. I'm actually pretty happy where it ended because it doesn't pull off an ROSSG where it just pulls off an ending. It just drops off. And to be honest, there's nothing wrong with something just dropping off as long as stories are relatively wrapped. Infinite Flow, the stories are too wrapped, so you don't get too invested in a specific character because it just feels boring, especially after a certain. After you read 800 chapters, you'll understand what I mean by that three. Like there are various checkpoints. There's the 880 chapter checkpoint, 200 chapter, 300 chapter, 600 chapter. 800 chapter, 1,000, right? Each of these checkpoints denominate the lifespan of a web novel. 1,200, 1,500, 2,000, right? Each of these checkpoints will determine, like, do I keep reading this? Is it still worth reading, right? I dropped off Nomenclature for the Night around 1,400 because I was not dedicated enough to keep waiting for the updates. It was just not that good enough. Where something like Disaster Artist or the Conan Rebirth of Snake Disease, because personal preference, I can't keep reading even though it's 2,400 chapters in. I'm dedicated to keep reading the updates. Stuff like sports, you have to be dedicated, but it has to be good author writing, right? Like I am more dedicated to sports than I am to certain wuxia or gaming, because you know the tropes in gaming, whereas the sports one there is some sort of cultural relevance or attachment to it, as well as the novelty of not having any sports background, so it keeps me updated where like you feel educated enough to keep reading. So it's very unique in and of itself. Back to Big Data World. As I said before, because of these game settings, right? You could have characters, main characters, players play as main characters, such as Hitler, such as Jesus, such as Judas, and it's relatively respectful in the historical setting because it doesn't go into the intrinsic motivation because it is a virtual world. There's some sensitivity because it's history. Each author treats it differently. The father, I'm the enemy, is the enemy of the country, can be the enemy of the country. The author is much more responsible with the history because he know people are going to learn from it because he takes the subject seriously. So it's much more structured, very realistic historical fiction. Whereas because this is much more throwaway, not so throwaway to the point where it's unrealistic, but it's more about the character drama that you don't take the history aspect too seriously, but you know these people existed. So as I said before, there's this character dynamic of the saboteurs and the players themselves, right? These various levels, it discusses human politics and greed, right? But it casually waves that away because that's not the central point in and of itself, right? As I said, it's all about restraint, our main character being an overpowered character, and just how he goes about life in these various big data worlds. Trust me, the harem aspect comes much reduced later on. It is very heavy in the first 200 chapters, but you never get bored of it because it doesn't drag on for thousands and thousands of chapters where you constantly have new romances. There's just enough to keep it slightly entertaining, right? Like a little bit of comedic background or like, romantic drama. But not so much to the point where the story is consumed with harem. Like it completely throws out the plot for these romance plots and side plots where you have to go rescue the harem, you have to go rescue the harem or the female interest from this superpowered background. No, it is relatively contained and light in that sense where we don't have to go hopping around different universes or we constantly have to go fighting bigger and bigger bad guys just to chase a female interest because our main character has a sense of self-restraint. He has a sense of relationships where there's like they're all mature and they know these relationships aren't permanent, right? Some people like constantly throw more and more where you get to like 15 different characters and they don't mean anything because there's just so many. And then you get so bored because they go on so many misadventures that do not advance the plot or just like don't fit into the plot because you keep throwing the same story over and over that it just becomes a trope. Each of these stories become worthless, and so that's just so frustrating when you read from a Wuxia perspective. Mages is a little different because it's all about the power levels, about the scaling. As I said before, I did still get bored reading of it. I did my speed reading where I just kind of like read the chapter titles and I scrolled through the chapter because I kind of fell out of the story, but I still wanted to see where it went. Right, that there's my style of reading. Very unique story, though. There is a very good balance of how our author balances the character, his character design, how he interacts with our central administrator. Every single character gets character development. Not everyone equally, but it was to the point where I enjoyed where the character development was being invested in, where author invested his time in storytelling. Each of these worlds are carefully crafted. They're just enough to allow your imagination to take hold while still being an intriguing story. Each of these worlds are interesting. Each of these enemies, like, he doesn't overinvest or underinvest. It's very much to my reading preference. That's why I really enjoyed the story. That's why I give it an 8 or 9 out of 10. The enemies are compelling. Like, everyone's like relatively chill. There are no necessarily life or death feuds to the point where it's like, oh, the main character has to fight this character. No, it's more like just this general understanding of people are mercenaries. Everyone has different goals. And, the game is the game. Something like in The Wire, where it's like, once the game is over, you let it go because there are no feuds. Good grief. One thing that Wuxia, sorry, I'm getting super excited, but one thing Wuxia takes overboard is just the sheer amount of blood feuds just to do power leveling and power creep that, while unique for the first 300 chapters, do not lend to longevity, right? When you get to 1,800 chapters, you've seen the same thing over and over again, six, seven, eight different times over hundreds of web novels, you are going to get tired of it, okay? For people who've started reading, you're not there yet. And honestly, that's a good thing. That means there's so much more. You have so many more web novels to choose from because every single one of them are so interesting. But as you read more, you get higher standards and it just all bogs down on you. Obviously, you'll read more amazing things, but because your standards are so high, it's hard to find a good web novel. Now, there's always great writers out there. There's always good for discovery, right? It's all about the ecosystem and how big the pond is. And the pond is amazingly huge, right? Provided you know where to look, and you're just that invested. But Big Data World definitely very unique. I loved all of the characters with the way he deals with the system administrators, the way they even deal with the philosophy, right? From Taoism to just basic science fundamentals and mathematics of like Albedan, calculus and whatnot. Like they talk a lot about philosophy of souls, right? Like because any Wuxia will talk about souls, even Mages talks about souls, but it's not like super heavy. Like there's just this general understanding, you just move on. Like there's an interesting thing in this specific one, I'll talk about souls in the West, which is like it's all about memory and personality, right? There's still three id, ego, super ego by Freud, but personality and memory, two different things, right? The brain, the physical consciousness, and the soul in and of itself. Whereas in Eastern cultures, there's earth fate, sky, heaven's fate, and there's a third fate, right? Soul fate or whatever, right? These are the different parts of the soul. You have the soul that is attached to the ground, right? We would consider that a physical body. There is a fate that is attached to the sky, your path, your destiny. And there is that middle fate that determines your personality, right? So that three soul split, id, ego, superego, that's more rational, emotional, hunger, rational, hunger, ra rationality, survival is instinct, and then the control over both those two spheres, right? That's Freud and like it's kind of front brain, left hemisphere, right hemisphere. A lot of different philosophies. We're not going to go into the prefrontal cortex and all that. But yeah, personality and memory is how they denote Western versus Eastern's fate, physical body and then soul in and of itself. A lot of interesting stuff. Tang Dynasty's the bread and butter, but it's just engaging and unique in a way because while history is a background, it's not completely throwaway, but it's just more, it uses it to entertain a good story, right? I don't think we ever get into Christianity that specifically. There, he's very specific because it is a summary, but I did throw a spoiler. It was Hitler, but it was engaging because it didn't talk about the atrocities as much as it did it as a game setting. It's like, oh, there is this. The West, the Axis forces versus the Western forces, and it doesn't even talk about the battles in and of itself. It just talks about the confrontation in a way that only pertains to the main character, and it just makes it interesting rather than being bogged down in all the historical precedent, right? It's just a video game world, and people are just fighting because it's entertainment. It is entertainment, and there's just that level of detachment versus investment. The author is very good at controlling where to put character development, where to put his points, where to put his writing to develop an enemy, right? Where to develop the power level, how to explain the different power levels, the different authorities, right? As I said before, because it's a gaming, you get this intertwinedness of Taoism and computer science where our main character's different authority levels, right? And these authority levels also correspond to in-game abilities, such as magic, right? He is constrained to level one spells, which is just like level one authority. He constrains this thing where some people understand Taoism. He uses Taoism to explain authority and authority to explain Taoism, and it's just this intertwinedness. Not everyone understands that, right? So there's that sense of separation where the hackers understand it at a more deeper fundamental level, but they do not have full system access control because it is just regulated in that sense. So they still have to play by the in-game world rules, light and dark, right? As you see before, the dark side have to play with dark side rules. They have to kill, they have to murder, they have certain objectives they have to fulfill, whether it's by their gods or by their own personal abilities. I'm pulling from various web novels, by the way, if you can't tell, for the light and dark, right? Where they have to like pray to a god or whatever, where they have to fulfill these objectives and so on and so forth, right? So they have these constraints, right? Like otherwise they'll get struck by the GMs, right? The GMs cannot necessarily monitor every single character because of privacy laws and whatnot, which is very, very realistic. Even in the hacking industry, so you have the red hat and the blue hat hackers. Our main character became a blue hat hacker because of that whole longevity thing. You see that same vulnerability issue in Steelheart, where because you live so long, you just stop caring, right? It said before, pitch black dreams, living for long periods of life, you kind of start to go crazy. You see that in Cthulhu Gonophon and God of Games. When you read a lot of God web novels, you'll understand this idea that longevity does not necessarily mean intelligence, it just means experience. And through that experience, right, they are able to do more. They're different levels, they have different objectives, whether it's to ascend to greater godhood, whether it's greater control. Or whether they just get bored of life. That's the very common example. Like, I'm bored of how far I've gotten. We see that in the shopkeeper's retirement life, or Father Rage. That one is a very unique one in and of itself. It talks about magic. That one's much more Zetsu no Terror Steins Gate style. Very unique, but that's a different one. I think I covered it before. Actually, I probably didn't because I just ran out of energy. But this one, very unique. 644 chapters, written in 2014, but it still holds up to this day. Things like the thief who re-roamed the world, and it's a good length. You can drop it at any time because it is relatively self-contained, and the main plot advances. It depends on how far you want to go to the main plot. Each of the main plots are disposable in and of itself, which makes this a really good self-contained story. You can stop at any time, and you won't feel guilty because there's not much to read when you've read to the end. Like the ending, there is no ending, so you don't there. There's no closure in that sense. But because the story is open, no ending is an ending in and of itself because that means the main character has infinite possibilities. Whereas once there's an ending written, there is no further interpretation. There's different styles. It's a question of how well does the author do it, right? Omniscient reader's viewpoint, very nice ending. There are certain endings where even if the author drops it, you still feel fulfilled because most of the plot points are hit and there's not much more to go. There's not much more story to explore. Everything that has been explored is explored, and that's why they drop the story. And a good author will know when to drop it, a good time to drop it, whether it's they've run out of things to write about and they just don't want to keep writing this contrived story. That is respect for the reader. And so sorry for intertwining so many of this reading philosophy, meta reading, and just the story in and of itself, but it's a great story, Big Data World. I'm trying to keep it short because most of my recordings I get too excited to go about 50 minutes, so more meta commentary. But yeah, that is Big Data World by Mo Xiang. Very amazing author. I do recommend you read some of his other ones. I recently read A Celestial Mage. I enjoyed it, but the problem, it is not an update dedication web novel that you're supposed to stick to. I don't have commitment issues to a specific web novel. It's more that certain genres are easier to commit to than others. Anyway, so that's Mo Xiang's Da Su Ju Shijie. So Big Data World by Mo Xiang. Great story overall. Overpowered character, intelligent main character, everything you want to see by a great author. So yeah, that's episode 64 of I Couldn't Be YouTuber, so I'd make a podcast instead. Big Data World. And we'll stop here.